Good morning and welcome to Spotlight 92. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. And of course, every Thursday we talk to the movers and shakers of the community, the people that are making things happen for your benefit and mine. Our guest is an author. Her book is Stop Coping and Start Living. Why Worry is the name of the book. She is a research scientist on the faculty of Washington University School of Medicine. She's written or co-authored more than 250 articles in leading scientific or lay publications. She has also spoken and made presentations at international conferences. Her many freelance articles have appeared in publications as diverse as Parade and Scientific American. She is a member of the Anxiety Disorders Association of America, the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology, and the American Association of Immunologists. And she lives in St. Louis, Missouri. And is our guest on the phone right now, Catherine Tristan. Good morning, Catherine.
Well, good morning, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being our guest. As I told you, your topic hits me right where it hurts.
Right.
Right at home. I just had a situation like that. What causes people, I mean, everybody worries, but how can you turn a worry into something productive?
Well, that is the key, because worry is something that we always need to balance. And actually, worry is good for you. It's a natural system. It's good for you when it focuses on solutions. Like, say you're going to prepare for a test. Prepare for it and spend a lot of time on it, but don't obsess about it. Maybe you want to get in better shape for a sports competition. Then you worry about, let me get out there and start running. Or even worried about, maybe I shouldn't take that street down home at night, and maybe that protects you from getting mugged or something worse. So worry is there to help you protect against threats. And like I say, it's part of a psychological immune system. It's just like your biological immune system wants to protect you. Well, the psychological immune system feeds you constant thoughts, and you have to choose which ones to pay attention to and which not. And that is the real battle.
Yeah.
What I was also saying is the psychological immune system, you've got a soldier in there trying to protect you. And you're always putting thoughts on like a conveyor belt, but the soldier was never meant to be the general. The general is us, and we should be choosing which thoughts to pay attention to and which ones to let go by. So that's the delicate balance of trying to live in a solution-oriented worry, or if you progress into anxiety and then maybe even panic.
Yeah, I know people do panic. I guess this is something similar to the what they call the running response, the response to run away. If when your mind senses danger, you have a response. You quickly, your first thing comes to your mind to run away, and that's to protect you. Obviously, your brain trying to protect you, your body from harm. This
right, because the whole point of our, the body's been around for millions of years, and so, it's all about protection and survival, and we've got these powerful hormones and mechanisms inside of us that are very strongly impact our behavior, they impact our health, and worry is just one of those types of things that if you're picking the wrong thoughts and you're not even aware of it, and your mind is almost wired into being that way because that's the way you've always been, that's the way you learned, and your worries can really start hitting the red zone if you don't start recognizing the warning signs of worry. And if you got a minute, I'll tell you what some of those are.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about it since the election has been the best. This recent election has been one of the best measures of how people worry, because some of the rhetoric that went on through that campaign actually had people so frightened that they, well, had a lot of people extremely frightened about things that weren't even true.
Well, and you hear things in the news, and you have, even terms like the fiscal cliff. Like, couldn't they just say budget problems, or, does it have to sound quite so bad? And so a lot of, from the election, from the news that we hear, we get programmed into being in a state of slight anxiousness, slight nervousness. It's almost like the new normal is to feel anxious.
Yeah. And we'll get into that anxiety thing before. Go ahead, though. I stopped you from, you were about to say, if I had a minute.
Yeah, so those of us, we kind of have personality tendencies, and I certainly had that. It runs in my family with being nervous, more easily going into anxiety from your stresses. But like, how do you know when it's getting to be too much for you? And there are four key things to think about. It's like, are you starting to have sleep problems? Do you have trouble falling asleep? Do you wake up and you can't go back to sleep? Is it the first thing when you wake up? Do you start obsessing over your problems and your worries, immediately? Are you overeating or undereating? And then the fourth thing is, are you crabby or quick to anger? Or you feel like you're always on edge? When, one or two of those things occasionally, that doesn't mean you're in the red zone of worry. But when you are having a number of these, the sleep problems, the over or under eating, and crabby, unsettled, that tells you, should be telling you, to back off a little bit. You're getting in the red zone, your stresses are getting too high, and you're not really handling it very well.
Yeah. Now, stress is another term for anxiety. That anxiety is the strong word for it.
Yeah, they kind of go back and forth, don't they? Like, the stress is, you may have stress and not feel anxiety. You may just feel stressed and like overworked kind of thing, but maybe you're not. The anxiety is a physical symptom. Your heart is maybe beats a little faster, a little shortness of breath. You feel on edge. They say worry is more of just a mental thing, where you're in your mind, you're thinking thoughts, and then when it progresses to anxiety, now you're kicking in that body and those stress hormones that they call them. So the worry, stress, anxiety, all those things kind of flip-flop back and forth with each other. They kind of quickly go into each other and to different levels. You go from feeling worried to suddenly feeling anxious. And as I said, if you don't handle that too well, you can go into having anxiety attacks or panic attacks.
And this can lead to depression. And I know that depression is a serious illness, isn't it?
Yeah. Depression is, in fact, this is kind of a sad statistic, and that is that one out of two Americans at some time in their life will suffer from anxiety, depression, or addiction. That's one in two of us, and I know I'm part of that statistic because I had anxiety, and depression is a big problem. In fact, they're related. Anxiety and depression can be related. A lot of times they will give you medication. If you're trying to get some medication and you have anxiety, they'll give you an antidepressant. Right. So these systems really interact, and depression, can lead to suicide and very bad quality of life. So, we're talking some serious problems here.
Yes, and some people think that it's psychosomatic, and people will tell you, what are you worrying about? Back off of it and so on and so forth. But in a person's mind, that worry is a serious matter. And
it is definitely a serious matter. And, you can say it's all in your head, but it actually is all in your head, but so is everything else, because your thoughts run your life, and how you think about is how your brain is wired. And if you're on edge and you're unsettled, these panic attacks can come out of the blue. You don't know what hit you, and all you know is that it feels frightening and you want to avoid that. Sometimes what happens is, like what happened to me is, I had these attacks and then I would try to do anything to not have them. So I learned avoidance as a way to cope with it. I kept avoiding this, or I had an attack on the highway, then I was afraid to drive, and going over bridges, that started to scare me, and it expands. When you agree with your worries, then they tend to get worse and they expand, and that's when you really have to take a step back and say, how can I help myself out? That gets to be really serious really fast.
Can these things mentally damage you?
It can be, yes. And the thing, what does that mean exactly? Well, that means your life becomes more restricted. You say you stop, riding elevators, or you are not feeling as much joy, in your life. And that will definitely impact your life for a long time.
Wow. If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We are talking to author Catherine Tristan. Her new book, Why Worry? Stop Coping and Start Living, previously published as Anxiety Rescue, and now revised and expanded to Why Worry? And Dr. Tristan, you have personal experience. What your motivation for writing this book?
Well, and I do have experience in that. You know, I'm a scientist, and so when I started having these problems and they felt so overwhelming, I felt very ashamed and humiliated. And if I talked to anybody now about it, they said, do not feel that way. You are not alone. But I kind of thought I was the only one who had it. So I had many years when I had this problem, but I finally learned that my fears were actually teaching me something that I needed to learn. And I learned how to beat chronic anxiety and knock it right out of my life. And so my motivation for writing Why Worry is to help give some easy, some simple, some very straightforward ways of handling your worries and your thoughts and some behavior patterns that we all share who are worriers, and some ideas of how to create what I call outlook makeovers. You know, we've got these issues. Pay attention, wake up to your thoughts, and start making some changes in your life, and it's going to only help you out. So that's my goal, is to give you some simple solutions that really help your life out. I turn my life around. I've traveled all over the world. I know how to keep worry in its place. It's not that it doesn't strike at me or even anxiety, but I know how to manage it. And so that's what my hope is with this book, is that it's a simple read and lots of strategies for how to people can help themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, this, like I said, it touches home with me because, like I mentioned, my wife had a recent surgery, and she came through the surgery just fine. But then she started having anxiety attacks that really frightened both of us. And for a minute there, I thought it was psychosomatic. I thought, you know, it was hard for me to believe that she was going through this sort of anxiety when I know of her personality before. And I could not understand. She's come down from it now. You know, it's getting better. It has gotten a lot better with it. But it was a physical manifestation, and it frightened us.
It feels, honestly, you know, if I talk to someone about this and they've never had a panic attack or they've never had anybody they knew had one, they don't quite get it, because if you've had one, you really feel like you're going to die or go crazy. Your heart is beating, you're breathing. You just want to get out. You want to get away. You feel like you're trapped in some kind of situation, but there's no place to run because you might be in your house or some very safe place. So the fact that your wife had that, I'm glad, and a lot of us have that, you know, like 18 million people just have anxiety disorders alone, and millions more probably are affected by high levels. So, you know, what can you do about it is the question. And part of what I say is, you know, learn to wake up to your thoughts and start hearing what's going on in your brain, and also start handling some of the stresses that are causing that. A lot of us are focused on the worry or the anxiety feeling once we have it, but we never say, well, what caused that? You know, what led me to get to that state to begin with? And let me start handling what stresses me out better, because then the anxiety will lessen when you learn you actually are in charge of your life and you're not a victim. So handling those stresses is a big key to you know, not getting into that state that we get into of anxiety.
What one of the best ways to handle those stresses? I mean, do you have to come up with a scheme of on your own, or is there a set way, a set pattern of how to deal with those stresses that cause you to worry or be a worrywart?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you know, how do we manage the stress in our life? That's a good question. I have on my website, whyworrybook.com, I have I think a list of 10 instant stress busters. And I think in the book I also have 10 ways to worry smart. So there are ways that you can deal better with these things. And so let me give you a couple of concrete examples. Okay. You know, if you're trying to bust some of that stress that's in your life, one of the first and simplest things you can do is to take charge of your breathing, because when you are stressed, you're breathing very shallow, just the very top part of your lung. And if you can catch yourself yourself doing that, you just step back a little bit, you know, and take some 5 or 6 deep breaths, slow deep breaths down into your belly until you see your belly rise. That's actually can we call belly breathing. And it also physically it helps. If you breathe deeply into your lungs, it stimulates the vagus nerve. And when the vagus nerve is stimulated, that activates your rest and restore system. It's calming. So it's physically calming as well as it feels better. Breathing is so simple to do, you know. And now here's a big mental tool, and that is focus on the present moment. Focus on now. Because, you know, what we worry about in the future, 85% of what we worry about never happens. And that's scientific studies, 85%. So, and in the past, we can't change it. So one of the best ways of busting your stress and your worry is to focus on the present moment and forget about the unpredictable future. You know, you might have to create some solutions. You know, you can't just be a pie-in-the-sky kind of person like, oh, I'll worry about that later. Sometimes you have to think about that and make some plans. But for most of your life, focus on the present moment. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you another one, and that is connect with Mother Nature in some way. You know, it's very healing to actually just, and they say, get grounded. That comes from the fact that just being out in Mother Nature sometimes can help reset that worry button. So, you know, those are a couple of ways to just quickly to bust your stress. And one more that's really important. Smile.
I saw that on
the
stress busters, and I thought all through school when I was going to Columbia School of Broadcasting, there were signs all over the building, smile, sonria, smile.
Don't be a sourpuss, because you know what? And science backs us up here. It's that even, you know, smiling, whether you mean it or not, releases endorphins in your body, and endorphins good and positive type of compounds. And so, you know, and I think if you mean it when you smile, it's even better. So, you know, try to just smile and you'll be happier and you'll bring more happiness to you.
Wow. You know, that's one of those simple things that we just like breathing. It's simple things that you don't really think about when you're stressing and worried about things.
Yeah. Simple is good. And there are things that you can do. And, I even talk about the stop, look, and listen method. Now, that's if you're getting some pretty high stress level or high worry, some anxiety. The stop, look, and listen method is a way that you just immediately recognize that you're having these uncomfortable feelings, and you say, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable, but you say stop, because what's happening is your mind is feeding you a runaway train of negative things, which I call terribilizing. It's making it into a catastrophe. So what you just say to yourself is, now just stop, and then you start to take kick into this breathing that I mentioned, and then stop. That's the stop part. Look is just look around, and that's sort of the present moment idea. See all the little details that are around you. Stop focusing internally on the scary things that you feel, and connect. You can even name things. I see a cup. I see a plant. I see a pencil, and you can name things. And then listen. Listen just means start talking to yourself with a more self-nurturing way. You know, things will be all right. Have a phrase that maybe you say, like, this too shall pass, or all is well. So stop what you're doing, look around, take some deep breaths, and say some self-nurturing things to yourself. And that will really help you get out of that moment of anxiety.
Wow, that was on a Seinfeld. Serenity now, serenity now.
That's right.
If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We are talking to Catherine Tristan. She is the author of Why Worry? With the subtitle of Stop Coping and Start Living. And that was going to ask you that too. So what is that subtitle about? Stop Coping and Start Living.
Yeah, so it's like, it's one thing to just be coping. You know, coping can be a good thing because it helps us get through our problems. But what I'm trying to propose in this book is that let's not just live as we're coping. Let's find our passion. You know, sometimes we forget what gives us joy, what makes us happy, and to focus on that instead of just get through each day. So I'm suggesting even do something like make a 5 list. Name 5 things that you would like to do if you could? And are these things that you would realistically think about doing? You know, maybe you'd like to take an art class, or maybe you'd like to get fit and trim, you know, something that you find fun to do. Have you thought about that lately? So make a 5 list and focus on that. And then, you know, the other thing is to get out of your comfort zone. It's most of us who worry never want to take a risk. That can be scary stuff. But what you learn is by when you change your mind and start thinking more positively, which is something I call possibilizing, isn't it possible that something good will happen instead of something bad, then you learn to take small risks. And if you can start taking small risks into something that you really want to do, that opens up a whole new world of possibilities and ways to bring more joy and more peace into your life. So stop coping and start drawing up a different plan, a plan that will make you happier.
Pay attention to life and not worry about it. I guess my father was a minister, and I had a problem one time. I was talking to him, and I laid it all out. And he sat back and he said, "Don't you believe in God?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "What are you worried about?" You know, and that was the end of that was the solution to it. And
I like it.
Well, yeah, but there's not a lot of people that are more secular in mind, don't pay much attention to such things as that. But I noticed that in the book you have you mentioned Japanese philosophy a little bit, wabi sabi.
Yeah. Wabi-sabi. I put that in there because one of the traits that those of us who are worriers and who are anxious have is the need to be perfect, you know, perfectionism. You know, it's got to be this way or that way, or I have to keep doing this until it's perfect, or maybe we put that on others. You need to be perfect. The situation has to be perfect. So what I'm trying to bring out in that is that that's a behavior pattern that's a trigger for worry. So a Japanese philosophy that's based on Buddhist principles, actually, and it's called wabi-sabi. And what that means is imperfect beauty. That sometimes there is beauty in imperfection, and things don't have to be exactly the way we want, because things actually tend to turn out just fine. And even if it's imperfect, it may be still a wonderful situation. It may be a learning situation for you because it didn't turn out perfectly. Mm-hmm. That is a big thing. So in the Japanese, in Tokyo, there's a museum, and they have a wabi-sabi section, actually. And one of the main things they have there is this old-time big vase, and they have a spotlight shining on it. But guess what it's shining on? The big crack right in the middle. So our imperfections can be teachers. They can be a ways for us to grow. So let's do a little less needing to be perfect, and I think we'll be a little bit more into being happy.
Right. Well, I noticed that you mentioned that spiritual solutions can help as well. And again, like I said, we live in a more secular society than we have in the past, but for those people who can reach out for spiritualism, is that is that available to be used, or is that a good way to use to is that something good to use to avoid stress or to relieve stress?
Sort of like a spiritual side.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you know, everybody's definition of what is spiritual is different. But the thing is, for myself, I do recognize my connection to my inner spirit and my connection to the world itself and the greater spirit of the world. And even if you can't explain it or understand it or where you are in your own philosophy, if you can connect to your highest self and to a spiritual spiritual connection, if you can form the spiritual connection, that is the strongest healing connection. I mean, people say, let go, let God. You think of things outside of yourself that help you. You look at things from a higher perspective. All of that is a connection to your spirit, your inner spirit, and your connection to the source of higher knowledge. So I think that, you know, that is an amazingly healing way to help ourselves in so many ways.
You know, it's amazing too about that in all these cultures and societies that they've studied over the years, over the centuries, every society has always had that had a god or a belief in a greater being than themselves. And I think that's the inherent nature of humans, and to have this belief in that there is something or someone greater than themselves.
Well, you know, I love to think about things outside of ourselves, because we can get so hung up in just the world and the physical and how bad things are. But, you know, when we kind of try to get outside of ourselves, when we embrace principles such as gratitude, where as bad as things are, things can be a lot worse. And what mm-hmm. happens is that, you know, if you can focus on what's right about a situation instead of what's wrong, what you have to be grateful for, the gifts that you have already been given, when you pull that into your conscious mind and even keep a gratitude journal, you can find so much more to be happier with in even simple ways. And being grateful instead of being hateful, or finding the gratitude, finding the gift in the challenge, those are things that will help you keep that worry and that anxiety in a better balance. It just helps balance you, your entire feelings and your spirit.
You know, back in the 60s and 70s, you know, people would just go and light up a doobie and relax. But what do you think about medication and talk therapy for treating anxiety? Is medication a good idea, or is this something that should be done mentally?
Yeah, I'm not a person to say, you know, don't do this and don't do that. It's kind of an individual decision. I think, you know, medication is a bit like a bandage, but sometimes it can help us. If someone's in a terrible depression, sometimes an antidepressant can help restore the biochemical balance in your brain, you know. Right. But the thing is, when we depend on that, did the medication do anything to solve the problems that we had that led us into depression or anxiety? So, and even those medications, only one out of three works, and it takes up to 3 months to see if they do work, during which time you might be getting anxiety as a side effect of the medication. So, you know, you have to be careful with it. You just have to make that decision with someone who's qualified to talk to you about it, and even talk to a therapist. But be sure you've got a good fit, a therapist who connects with you emotionally, who you like and who you trust. It's always a good idea to talk to someone who you connect with and get the best help that you can, whatever way it is. Read, understand, educate yourself, and then make a better decision about what's best for you.
Wow. And now that we're coming up on the holidays, which is always a stressful time for people because of the weather, for one thing, and then getting presents and stuff like that, what advice would you give people about taking it easy for the holidays?
Yeah, holidays are so much fun, but they're also can be very stressful. They tend to be polarizing, don't they, with some of the emotional things that come up. And I have a couple of holiday stress busters that I would love to share, because I would like people just to have the most glorious, loving, fun holiday and not feel stressed. And here are a couple of ideas for you. One is to change your expectations. Most of the stress we feel comes from the conflict that we feel of our expectations. And again, that borders on the perfectionism idea. You know, the more you demand of something and it doesn't happen that way, the more upset you get. Mm-hmm. So instead, step back and open up to many possibilities, not just one. You know, expect less. It doesn't mean you have to lower your standards, but keep it in balance. Mm-hmm. You know, and just say no is another one. You know, no is not a four-letter word. Sometimes you have to set boundaries. This is what I can do. This is what I can't do. Maybe you have to say no to the number of presents that you have to give out, or come up with creative ideas for new traditions. And it's okay to say no or no thanks, or I'll think about it. Maybe it's time to communicate your feelings a little bit more about a subject. So, you know, no is not a four-letter word. And then, you know, be flexible. Learn to that, you know, sometimes you have to establish new traditions. You have to create solutions, because not everybody's schedule is going to be able to meld with yours. And so, you know, alternate who hosts get-togethers, for instance, or pick names instead of buying gifts for everyone. Plan ahead a little bit. If you think you're going to be lonely about that time, plan ahead so that you consider volunteering someplace, so that you won't be alone. Be flexible in how you're thinking about the holidays, and focus on fun. You know, expect pleasure, not perfection, and you'll draw a lot more of that to you. And that's what we want from the season, is more loving and more fun.
All right on, right on. Well, the book is Why Worry? Stop Coping and Start Living. Catherine Tristan is the author. It's available now just about everywhere. And also, can it be purchased online as well?
Yes, the book and the ebook, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, you can pretty well get it anywhere.
Plus, you can find out more information about the professor herself on whyworrybook.com. It's whyworrybook.com. Catherine Tristan, thank you so much for being our guest, Catherine.
Well, it certainly has been my pleasure, Melvin. Thank you for having me on.
All right. And I wish I was close to you so I could get you to autograph this book, but this is going to stay close to us for a while.
I'll send it to you mentally.
Okay, thank you.
And give your wife a hug and tell her it's going to be okay.
I'm going to do that too. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And this has been Spotlight 92. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.